Hello, welcome to your favorite bookish podcast, Fully Booked and Caffeinated. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Heather.
And today we will be discussing and reviewing Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintero. As usual, let's talk about our fuel for this discussion. What are you drinking, Heather?
I'm hydrating with some H2O. This morning, I got my typical iced caramel coffee from Dunkin', but over the weekend, I got the You Changed My Life with the brown sugar cold foam. I got the
It's a game changer.
The brown sugar shaken espresso with the brown sugar cold foam.
And now it's I'm so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got Starbucks yesterday and I just got my blonde latte because I was drinking it in the car and I had to drink it quickly. And I was like, wow, I'm not going to be able to really get my lid off there and get my cold foam. You know what I mean? So I just went with the latte. But right now I'm drinking actually a spiked cider. It's strawberry lemonade flavor.
That sounds delicious.
It's really good.
It's also it's a pretty
very good. Yeah. Burnt Mills Cidery in New Jersey.
Oh, where?
Bedminster? I don't know.
Oh my God. I think we talked about going to this place.
Really?
Yes.
Is it close?
No.
To either of us?
I don't know. No. I don't think so. But I remember, like, looking up cideries forever ago in New Jersey.
Oh, yes. Because, it's only an hour for me. Mm-hmm. Because there's so few of them. Let me look from you. Oh. Whereas, like, in, like, Vermont and stuff, there are a thousand of them. Yeah, it's an hour from you, too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay. So, cheers.
Cheers.
It's so easy for us to get distracted.
Very simple.
All right, so let's talk about Amy Tintero. So this is straight from her website, and then I have more to say after this, but I really liked the way that this is all summed up. So Amy Tintero started writing novels as a kid during her middle school science classes, which probably explains why she has always been very bad at science. She is the author of several teen novels, and her first book for adults, Listen for the Lie, was an instant New York Times bestseller and a Good Morning America book club pick. She has a bachelor's degree in journalism from Texas A&M and a master's in media arts and screenwriting from Emerson College. She worked as a talent agency assistant in Hollywood before becoming an author. She was raised in Austin, Texas, and she frequently sets her novels in the Lone Star State, but she now lives in LA where there's far less humidity, but not nearly enough Tex-Mex.
That's cute.
Yeah, I liked it. So I have some mixed feelings about Amy Tintero because in an interview, they asked her about her favorite books and influences. So as a child, she loved Matilda. So that's a point in her favor. Love Matilda. She also loves Emily Henry and she admires her ability to write such realistic characters. So that's another point in her favor because we also like Emily Henry.
Correct.
But
allow
me to read this quote.
Oh no.
I always wanted to be an author, but the book that made me want to be an author as an adult was Twilight by Stephanie Meyer. I was part of that generation of writers who rediscovered our love of reading through that book. It helped me realize what an exciting, vibrant category YA is. So there's that, and now I have no desire to read her YA books. It's like she's doing so well.
Yeah.
And I get it. I get it. Because we get it. We covered Twilight. We get
also,
it.
And but here's the thing. I also can't fault her because I was obsessed with it when it came out. And
okay,
I didn't know.
That's the thing. Yes.
I didn't know that it was terrible writing because I was a 100% young lass. Like,
and I agree. But as a successful author, I wouldn't admit to this. I would not say this shit out loud. Or I'd be like, yeah, because it was so, no, I guess you can't be talking shit about other writers. But anyway,
yeah.
I was like, wow, this is a brave thing to, I'm glad I read this after I read the book. All right. So this book is classified as a thriller, but we both said it's not really a thriller. It's
I don't
more
think I
like
would call it a thriller.
Mystery or suspense.
Yeah.
So this summary is actually from Storygraph because I have the book and the book cover has like an actual synopsis.
Yeah.
And so does Goodreads. But Storygraph has something completely different and I love it. So that's what we're going with.
Okay, great.
I mean, it is about this book.
You sure?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I just had to double check, but yes. Okay. You probably already know my name, Lucy Chase, the woman who doesn't remember murdering her best friend. You all think I did it. That's okay. I get it. Being found wandering the streets the next day covered in her blood wasn't a great look. Believe me, I'm as frustrated as you are. I'd love to know if I'm a murderer. It's the sort of thing you really should know about yourself, isn't it? And now, thanks to the true crime podcast Listen for the Lie, I finally have the chance to find out. But will I be able to live with myself if it turns out it was me? And if it wasn't, will digging into the secrets of the night I forgot make me the next target of whoever did? I like it because it's not a summary and it just immediately pulls you in.
It does, actually.
So I don't know where this is from, but I'm not asking questions. We're going with it. So a lot of people talk about like how important the first sentence of a book is.
Yeah.
And the first sentence of this book is, a podcaster has decided to ruin my life, so I'm buying a chicken.
I know, I love that.
And immediately I knew I was going to like this book because Lucy is giving sassy, sarcastic, yep. My mm-hmm. favorite kind of main character.
I know, I truly, truly love Lucy.
So much. And I listened to the audiobook, which was actually so good because they had different voices
like
for everything. Yeah. And like the woman who read for her had that sassiness
that's
down.
Good.
So I loved it. Also, here's a little note from the author. Here's a fun fact about this opening line and the whole first chapter. It was the last thing I wrote before sending the book off to the agents. The book originally started in the grocery store when Lucy is imagining bashing squash into people's heads and gets a call from her grandmother. But I felt like we needed to see her in her normal life first, at work and then with her boyfriend. Which, like, I love this because if it had started with her banging the squash into someone's head, I still would have liked that.
Yeah.
But this is even better.
Yeah, this was. I like this because it kind of gives you, like, a little bit of a small, in-depth look at her life.
Mm-hmm. And how she's just, like, everything is falling to shit around her and she still has a sense of humor about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like when she went to the store and she's like, I could get something to chop into tiny pieces in front of her boyfriend to scare him. Uh-huh. All right. So Lucy's best friend, Savannah, was murdered. And Lucy was found the next day walking down the street with her dress covered in blood. Everyone suspected that she had killed Savannah, but they didn't have enough proof. So in the court of public opinion, she was found guilty. But Lucy has absolutely no memory of what happened that night. So she doesn't think she killed Savvy, but she's not 100% mm-hmm. certain. She had the picture perfect life, Lucy did. A nice house, a hot husband, a soulmate best friend, and obviously that all came crumbling down when she's accused of murder.
Mm-hmm.
So she escaped their small town, moved to LA to leave the past behind her. And about 5 years later, a podcast host decides to reopen the cold case to get new information. Sucks for Lucy, but the kind of podcast I would devour.
I know.
So once the media attention starts, Lucy gets fired and she knows her current boyfriend wants to break up with her, but like doesn't have the balls. And her grandma Beverly calls and says she must come back to her hometown for Beverly's birthday party because she's close to death. Which is not true at all, but Beverly is lovably manipulative.
Oh, 100%.
Obsessed.
And like the best person in Lucy's life, hands down.
Easily. By a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
So Lucy goes back to Texas and we immediately find out about her weird family dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad can't even look her in the face. Her mom is very preoccupied with other people's opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And just seems very, like, superficial and bitchy.
Yeah, 100%.
And all of Lucy's past trauma surrounding Savvy's death is obviously amplified now that she's back and everyone is whispering and talking about her again. So Lucy has this coping mechanism of imagining killing people constantly, just with random everyday objects, whether they would be enough to kill or maim or whatever. Literally, like a mug, a squash in the grocery store, anything. So because she doesn't remember what happened, her mind decided that if she envisioned any possible way to kill someone, maybe it would jog a memory.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives the example of like bashing a milkshake glass over someone's head. She's like, maybe we were arguing about what's the best flavor of milkshake, and I snapped and killed her. So it's just like this crazy coping mechanism, and it's mm-hmm. the only thing she has. So also when Lucy comes back to Texas, she has this voice popping up in her head, which is a little concerning. It's telling her to kill people. And we find out that she's actually hearing Savvy's voice yeah. talking to her. And it escalates to full-on hallucinations, which is even more concerning, obviously. But I was kind of impressed that she only talks out loud to that voice one time.
I know.
I really thought she was going to a bunch of other times. Because
clearly there's moments where us as the reader can tell that she's experiencing the voice of Savvy and, like, seeing her. But, like, the people that are actually in front of her realize that she's kind of like zoning out for a minute. Yeah. They're like, what are you doing?
Like, yeah, because Ben is like, where do you go when you're doing yeah. that? Or what are you thinking about? So we're introduced to a few other people who were big members of Lucy's life back when she was in Texas. Her ex-husband, Matt, her ex-friends, Emmett and Nina. Emmett always had a huge crush on Lucy, and she kind of wonders what would have been if she had chosen the nice guy instead of the hot asshole. Mm-hmm. But Emmett and Nina are dating now. And obviously there's something fishy about Nina because she tells Lucy that she doesn't really drink, but then Lucy sees her slamming margaritas. like taking them like shots.
Yeah.
When she's out with her friends. And Lucy doesn't call her out on it, which seems like very un-Lucy-like behavior.
I know.
But she also knows when to just, like, be quiet and observe. So Lucy finally meets Ben, the podcaster, because of Beverly's meddling. She orchestrates the whole thing for them to run into each other.
She, like, orchestrates a meet-cute.
Yes.
Essentially.
She's just so messy, and I love her so much. Mm-hmm. And so Lucy agrees to help Ben, not because she wants to keep him on side or find out what he knows or anything like that, but she truly wants to know what happened to Savvy. Mm-hmm. And Ben had success with a previous case that he covered on the first season of his podcast, and he's already starting to like stir shit up, so she knows that he's capable of doing that.
Yeah, 100%.
So the format of this book, I really loved. It has like the podcast episodes and interviews intercut with the story. And honestly, it sounds like a true crime podcast that I would love to listen to.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Sounds so good. Mm-hmm. And the way that he just drops those bombs. So Beverly continues to pull Ben into their community and their family against everyone else's protestations. And basically, Lucy's family doesn't want Ben digging because they think Lucy is guilty. Mm-hmm. And so they keep telling her, like, you don't want him digging. And they don't want him to prove that narrative. And Ben is messy as fuck. Mm-hmm. And he's uncovering all types of shit. Mm-hmm. He reveals that Lucy's mom was sleeping with a 20-year-old the night Savvy died. He also finds out Lucy's big secret, which is that she's a romance author under a pen name, which is so random.
So random.
And she's been hiding it successfully, but she knew that the internet sleuths would eventually turn it up. And of course they do. And most of all, he finds out that Lucy was abused by Matt during their marriage. Mm-hmm. And not surprisingly, Lucy doesn't want to talk about that, especially on the podcast. Mm-mm. So there's a lot of sexual tension mm-hmm. between Lucy and Ben, of course, as if that wasn't the most predictable thing ever.
I know.
And then they bang, and Lucy knows it's a bad idea, but Ben seems to really like Lucy.
I know.
He's, like, wanting her to come and, like, spend the night and order mm-hmm. food and, like, hang out with her. But obviously he knows this is completely unethical yeah. and would ruin his entire podcast.
Crossing a lot of lines.
And when his assistant finds out, which we did not get enough of Paige.
No, I loved her. She was great too.
She loses her damn mind because she's like, no one will ever believe anything that you say. Mm-hmm. Like if you say that Lucy is innocent at the end of this, they're going to be like, yeah, it's because you're fucking her. Like,
exactly.
He's going to lose all his credibility. So mm-hmm. obviously they both want to keep it a secret for that reason. Of course, Beverly knows because Beverly knows everything, but after they sleep together, Ben checks with Lucy before publishing an interview with Savvy's sister, which hinted at the abuse that Lucy was suffering from Matt. And Lucy asked him not to publish it. And you're kind of wondering, why did he run it by her? Mm-hmm. Was it because they had just slept together? Was it because he was trying to build a little bit of trust with her? Was it because he didn't want to expose that? Like, it's just kind of, who knows?
Yeah.
You know? But Ben does put out an episode with a recording of Matt attacking him and punching him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. Matt sucks.
Matt is...
You just know he's hot as fuck, too.
I know. I know. All the assholes are.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, his... I did not. And I hated that Lucy, like, kept falling into the trap a little bit with him when mm-hmm. she was back in town, like, in the present, like, kissing him and stuff like that. And I'm mm-hmm. just like, girl, come on.
After knowing what he did.
Yeah.
And she's like, but the sex was so good. And it's like, you know it's not just sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know it's not just sex with him. So he was also cheating on Lucy constantly. But she started cheating on him, too. And mm-hmm. they just had, like, a super toxic relationship. Like, they were always trying to get back at each other and obviously getting violent with each other. And so we start to get a few flashbacks of Lucy 5 years ago and conversations she had with Savannah. And she had confessed to Savvy about the abuse, and Savvy said they should just kill him. And Lucy's like, haha, and Savvy is 100% serious.
100%.
Keeps bringing it up, keeps telling her he deserves it, blah, blah, blah. And turns out she has killed a man before.
Mm-hmm.
A man who raped her.
Yep.
So he fucking deserved it. Right here in my notes, it says, for the FBI person listening to my voice note, this is a book review. This is not real. Because I was taking notes via voice app while I was driving. So, yes. And I was talking a lot about murder and a man who deserved it. So just in case I get put on any lists, don't direct them to this podcast. That'd be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Don't. Anywho. So... we have this dichotomy a little bit where someone dies and either people are too scared to speak ill of them
mm-hmm.
or they only remember the positive parts of their relationship and this person. And two things can be true. Mm-hmm. Like a person can be a victim and still not be a great person.
Exactly.
And that's not victim blaming because they still don't deserve what they got.
Mm-hmm.
But it's acknowledging that they are a full, complex human being whose life was taken.
Yep.
And if they had gone on living, they would still be that complex person who had negatives and positives to their personality. And I think it's such a hard thing to navigate because you mm-hmm. don't want to speak badly about someone.
No.
Especially because what good does it do?
Nothing.
Like, they're gone. But then when you think of, okay, but we're trying to solve this mm-hmm. crime, or we're trying to solve this murder,
mm-hmm.
we need to talk about it because who had a motive to do it? Who mm-hmm. did she piss off? Who, like, if you are trying to put yourself back in that situation, you need to think about how she was actually acting.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So it's kind of like a fine line.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And obviously Ben is not good with lines because he is fucking Lucy. So.
Oh my God. And then Lucy's like, do you do this with, like, all your podcasts?
He's like, the suspect in the first season was a man. She's like, that didn't answer my question.
I know.
But also, like, Ben sounded kind of hot. I don't know.
You, like, knew immediately that this was going to be
mm-hmm.
a thing that was going to happen.
Because everyone's like, talking about how hot and charming he is.
Exactly. Like, as soon as Ben is, like, introduced into the book... you know, they say he's like a good-looking, charming mm-hmm. man. You're like, okay, so.
But I did think he was going to be a little more douchey.
Yeah.
And like, I agree, he still actually. Was a little bit.
It's not even that he was douchey. I think he was cocky.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, because he didn't really come off as douchey to me, but like, he definitely came off as like cocky and confident, and like, he knew the power he held over people.
Mm-hmm. And also, comparatively to the other men in this book, he's...
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ himself. So
correct.
All right. So back to Lucy, who gets so much action in this book. She's regularly banging Ben. Matt is trying to sleep with her again and keeps like springing kisses on her. Emmett randomly kisses her, which sounds horrible. He's slobbery and it's wet mm-hmm. and it's bad.
Can I just tell you, when I'm reading this, I'm just thinking of a dog.
Yep.
Like,
she was like, I can't wait to just get out of here so I can, like, wipe my face off.
I know. I'm like, what is this man doing? Is he, like, open face, like a fish? Like, I don't.
Disgusting. And Lucy is just very cognizant of the fact that she makes horrible decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, we love a self-aware queen.
100%.
So finally, after Ben has brought a lot of doubt on Lucy's guilt and offered up other possible suspects,
mm-hmm.
and people start being like, oh shit, Lucy really doesn't remember? Like, because everyone thought that she was lying. Savvy's whole family thought that she was lying. She has a brother and a sister and her parents that she left behind. And no one thought Lucy was telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden they're like, oh wait, so many people in this town are shitty and could have wanted to kill Savvy.
Yep.
It's kind of like Good Girl's Guide to Murder.
Yeah, actually.
When we just found out that, like, she was a horrible person and everyone yeah. wanted to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
So after all this, Ben convinces Lucy to go back to the wedding venue and to her old house and just a bunch of locations to try and relive that night mm-hmm. and see if any memories come up. So when Lucy goes back to her old house, she starts kissing Matt because, like we said, she has horrible taste in men. And memories...
Clearly no self-control.
No self-control. And memories start coming back. But Matt tries to get her to stop remembering.
Mm-hmm.
Which at first I'm like, uh-oh. Is that because he's guilty? But no. He is convinced, and he tells her so, that she killed Savvy that night in some type of self-defense.
Yeah.
And he got rid of the murder weapon to protect her. And he's been trying to protect her this whole time and keeping that secret. And he also insinuates that the reason she turned to violence is because Matt and Lucy used to fight violently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's my fault that, like, that you did this. Like, you know,
yeah, because
our
we were always fighting back
this.
And forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Lucy is confused because Matt was the aggressor.
Exactly.
Over and over and over. And finally she responded and hit back at him. But mm-hmm. he was the one who started it. And that's another part of this book. That's one of the reasons she never came forward about the abuse mm-hmm. because she knows that the public would never believe a woman who fought back.
Exactly.
And how fucking sad is that? Because she's right. Mm-hmm. And the public only believes a perfect victim
mm-hmm.
and they wouldn't understand that she finally snapped. They would just say, why didn't you leave? Why didn't
exactly.
you leave?
Exactly.
Why didn't you kill him? Like Savvy said, but that's just me. I don't know. So anyway, Lucy becomes convinced that she did it because Matt is telling her that he basically saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Like didn't actually see it happen, but saw her right after and she
yeah.
confessed. And Matt doesn't want her to remember because he's still trying to protect her. So she leaves immediately. She goes home and confronts her dad. And she realizes that the reason he thought that she did it so immediately and completely is because Matt told him that Lucy had done it.
I know.
So they were both trying to white knight her and like protect her. And her dad had always talked to her like, we'll protect you no matter
yeah,
what comes
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So Lucy continues to remember and realizes that she had kissed Emmett that night. And he whipped her boob out next to a dumpster. And apparently, like, Savvy walked in on them and she was pissed. And she had a lot of bad stories about Emmett. And she didn't see this, like, sweet guy that Lucy mm-hmm. saw. And Savvy was kind of like, you were blinded by the fact that he's in love with you.
Yeah.
So you can't see how, like, weird he is or how creepy mm-hmm. he is. And then we find out that Savvy hooked up with Emmett because she was drunk. Mm-hmm. One night. And so she, you know, gave in whatever. She's like, how bad could it be? Apparently it was really bad. And then he wanted more and he didn't want to take no for an answer. But Lucy has like a hard time believing this because mm-hmm. of how she sees Emmett. So the night that Savvy was murdered, Emmett confronted Lucy and said that she should leave Matt and run off with him and start this like perfect life together.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, dude, I do not feel that way about you. And it turns out he can't take no for an answer. So Lucy punched him in the face and he attacked both Lucy and Savvy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the woods. They tried to run away, but he got like a mallet hammer thing and went after them. He hit Savvy with a tree branch. then a hammer to Lucy that just grazed her. So he goes to swing again and he says, "You made me do this."
I hate it.
A moment for that statement. So
because she wouldn't sleep with him or date him.
So you made me do this. Mm-hmm. So Savvy basically dives in front of Lucy and he ends up hitting Savvy's head with the hammer and she dies instantly. Mm-hmm. And then he hits Lucy again so that she'll black out, which is like the traumatic brain injury that made her forget mm-hmm. everything so that he can make his getaway. So then, it's this whole confrontation and then he's chasing Lucy. No. He is trying to drag Lucy into the art studio so he can do God knows what with her, mm-hmm. drug her or something, kidnap her and make her his pet. And then she loses her mind and starts hunting him down.
Obsessed.
And she's like, "I should turn around. I shouldn't do this." She's chasing him mm-hmm. with, what did she have? Did she have a hammer?
I think so. Because didn't she like get the same weapon that because she found it in the art studio?
Oh, yes. Because it was in the art studio. Yes, you're right. Yeah, because she was like, "Oh, he probably had it in his car because he's like the artist or whatever." So as she's chasing after him, she's like, "Better run faster, motherfucker." And I mean, obviously they keep like overpowering each other. Mm-hmm. And then she's raised the hammer, ready to strike. He knocks it out of her hand. And then of course, Ben shows up. Mm-hmm. Ben, the savior that we all needed, apparently. And I actually love this because this is such a familiar trope, but there was like a little twist on it where Emmett is like saying to Ben, "You saw her. She's trying to kill me. She's trying to kill me."
Yeah.
And Ben picks up the hammer and tosses it, which you shouldn't toss a hammer, but that's just me. Tosses it to Lucy and is like, "Well, let's see if she's going to kill you."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "Oh."
I know. I know. I was like, "Oh."
But she didn't. And I just want to say that the moral of this story is that rejecting men is fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
Plenty of times Lucy says that she would just go along with Matt to not make him angry because it was easier than protesting.
Mm-hmm. And this is just so common.
100%. So what do you think of this ending in general about Emma being the killer and also about this message?
I thought it was interesting that it actually ended up being Emmett. Like, I actually didn't necessarily see that coming away.
Who did you think it was when you were reading?
I had no idea. Like, I really couldn't exactly pinpoint it. Part of me thought maybe it was Matt, but then, like, once it was revealed that he, like, caught her in the woods, I was like, okay, well, then really can't be, because that mm-hmm. just doesn't make any sense. Because, like, she definitely paints a picture for Emmett initially in the book that he's just kind of like this goody two-shoes, it almost feels like. So then when you come to the scenario where you actually find out that he is aggressive when he wants something, and the fact that he, like, gets mad
mm-hmm.
if you don't want him. Because as Savvy experienced it, like, when she first hooked up with him and he wanted to hook up again and she was like, "No." Mm-hmm. And then his reaction is to basically slut shame her
mm-hmm.
and everything. And then when Lucy wouldn't run off into the sunset with him, he attempted to murder her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a crazy, it's like whiplash, because mm-hmm. his character is so, you see him in the scenes with Nina's kids and he's like being really rambunctious with them and like happy. And when she listens to him on the podcast, like, he's always in her corner. And then there's like that scene of them, that small scene of them at the bar where mm-hmm. Lucy's like, "Maybe I made him, like, I really made a mistake. Like, I just didn't see like what was right in front of me." But then again, like, she blocked out the whole part of the murder. And like the fact that like when she did hook up with them, the first time was at her house. They were, like, drunk at a party.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was drunk, so she really didn't remember, like, how bad he was at, like, kissing. And then when she's, like, she realizes at the wedding that this, like, isn't what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just borderline obsessed with her and has her on this high pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just unnecessarily angry.
Yes. And I could totally see how people who don't understand this scenario or how realistic this is mm-hmm. would hate this ending. But how many times have we heard of this where it's like, oh, the nice guy, mm-hmm. and he's so sweet and innocent, and like, then he gets friend zoned, and then he snaps and says, well, I treated you so nice and I was so nice to you, and then you rejected me and blah, blah, blah. And it just, it's all about ego. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter how they portray themselves mm-hmm. to the world if this is what they're doing exactly. when there's a blow to their ego or they mm-hmm. feel confronted. It's just gross. And I was okay with Emma being the killer. I thought that she set it up well enough.
Yeah, I agree. I was actually not like, I was not disappointed by mm-hmm. the ending.
Because while I was reading, I really didn't know who it was either. There was a part where I thought maybe it was Nina, and I kind of would have been annoyed if it was Nina.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, oh, why? Because she was like jealous of Savvy. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be stupid. So I'm glad that it wasn't her. And yeah, I thought it was set up well.
Yeah, I think once the pieces started to fall into place where you found out that she was kissing Emmett at the wedding, and then Savvy tells her the scenario that happened at the bar, and then so it's kind of like it really shifts him into this new light that mm-hmm. Lucy had never shown on him before. And then it's like, yeah, so it was a good, like it was a good cover.
Mm-hmm. So how would you feel in Lucy's situation where in your mind, you felt like you weren't capable of hurting your best friend, but everyone in your life assumed you were guilty and treated you like you're guilty?
That's gotta be hard, you know? And it's because, like, she clearly has so much love for Savvy, and she can't comprehend what would have caused her to, like, do that, to get mm-hmm. that violent with her. Like, you know, and she keeps going back to the point that because she has gotten violent with Matt because of him, that maybe she got into a fight with Savannah, and then this cold-blooded murderer came mm-hmm. out from her, which obviously she's not really capable of. But it just sucks.
But also because she's like, I don't think that I did it, but all of the evidence points to me. Exactly. Who else could have done it?
Exactly. Like, I was the only one with her, so, like, it makes sense that it probably was me, but how?
Exactly. And, like, every time Ben brings up another suspect, she's like, I could see it, but I don't think it's them.
Mm-hmm.
Because in her mind, she's like, it makes sense that it was me. I just don't think it was.
I know. And she's very much like, you know, I want you to do this podcast, and I want you to solve it, like, even if it's me.
Exactly. Because she wants to know the truth, and mm-hmm. she feels like it would finally be this weight lifted off of her.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just, it's got to be so shitty. Anyway. So we have talked, not on the pod, but together about this whole sleeping with the podcaster trope. What did you think of it in this book?
I was on the fence about it because it was hard not to like it because the chemistry that the author put between the two of them was, like, insane.
Mm-hmm.
And it also had steamy scenes for mm-hmm. like a thriller, like the whole, like, one of the last intimate scenes that they have when they're hooking up, like when she basically, like, chokes him out and he's, like, into it.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I saw that he was turned on.
Uh-huh. So, like, it's just, like, it's interesting, but I don't necessarily think that Ben would have hooked up with her if he thought she was capable of murdering Savvy. I kind of feel like he had, like, he didn't obviously know everything, and he had no idea who it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of get the vibe that the more he got to know the townspeople, and I think once he, like, finally met Lucy and got to know her, and I think Beverly was a huge influence on him.
100%.
You know what I mean? I think, like, he just couldn't fathom the idea of it being her. And so, well,
even
he allowed
in a scenario where he says that she did do it.
Uh-huh.
His reasoning is that she had, like, some psychotic break and then blocked it because of the trauma. So it's like, even if he did think that she did it,
mm-hmm.
he wasn't, like, judging her for it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I agree with that. I also, like, when it first happened, well, when we first knew it was going to happen, and then when they finally hook up, I was, like, so annoyed. But then when I thought about it, I felt like it flowed so much better.
It did.
And the author did a really good build up and then continued it. So it wasn't just one stupid decision. It was a pattern of stupid decisions. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, oh, this poor main character is being manipulated. No, Lucy knew what she was doing. She knew it was a bad idea and she still made that decision.
Yeah. And like, she's very much like on, very much aware that she's not making smart choices.
Oh, 100%. She still does it anyway. So listen.
We all
I don't blame her. She's she's one step closer to being healed, you know?
Exactly.
So, best character, hands down, Beverly.
Oh my God, I loved Beverly so much. I want to be here when I grow up.
So she develops alcoholism when she's like 60.
Love that.
And now she just drinks constantly. And she's so funny and sex positive and outspoken. But she also has the biggest soft spot when it comes to Lucy. Mm-hmm. And I really don't know where Lucy would be without her because she had literally no one on her side.
No.
Like, her parents thought she did it. Matt kicked her out. She lost her best friend. And Beverly's constantly telling her, I know you didn't do it. And it's not like some naive grandma. She's saying it as like, I know you didn't do it. And she keeps trying to tell her that. And Lucy's like, you don't know that, Grandma. And she's like, no, I do. And then when she finally finds out who it was, she's like, I told you. I was right all along. And I know you were fucking him. So and the fact that Ben and Beverly have like this whole relationship.
I know.
And he's like going over to her house all the time. He's doing Lucy's interviews at Beverly's house and just... And she's like, are you having sex with my grandma?
She does. She thinks that for like a minute.
She wouldn't be able to fit me into her rotation because she has so many men coming to the house. Oh, God, I love her. Okay, so last discussion question I have is, let's discuss this quote that is used over and over in this book, which is, the truth doesn't matter. And it's obviously this huge theme in the book because Ben is trying to get to the truth and trying to find out what happened. And the whole time in Lucy's head, she hears Savvy telling her that it doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter. What you say doesn't matter. Her mom saying, this isn't how a guilty person would be acting, or this isn't how an innocent person acts. And Lucy knows that it doesn't matter if she's innocent or not because she thinks that she is innocent. And everyone else thinks that she's guilty.
Exactly.
So basically the truth is whatever Ben says it is. And it's just, it's fucked up because of how hard Lucy's life has been and how many bad situations she's found herself in, she's put herself in.
Yeah.
And she just knows that no matter what, because of who she is, because she's sarcastic and strong and bitchy and fights back, that whatever she says doesn't matter. And that no one is going to believe her. And she's strangely okay with it and accepting of it, which is also kind of sad.
I know, but I think because after like being in the kind of relationship that she was in with Matt and how alpha he was and how like he instigated her a lot, it seemed like, too, during their fights, and was, you know, like, was also very similar to how when Emmett was like, look what you made me do. Matt does that in their relationship when they're arguing. Like, there's been, so many
gaslight her.
Exactly. Like, you know, you're making me do this. And like, it was so fucked up.
You hit me too.
Yeah, and it was
you
like,
push
so,
me down
exactly.
the stairs.
And like, that whole scene was so fucked up where she's, when the two of them are at the wedding and Matt is like, I could like bring you into this bathroom and like fuck you right now. And then she was like, you know, you could, but like, you just tried to drown me before we came to this wedding. Like, that's not happening. Like, go find someone else, Matt. And you know, he gets like very riled up about it and like pissed, but it's like,
that also made my skin crawl.
Yeah.
When she said that, because as she's remembering it, he was trying to get her to calm down and he's like, oh, go run a bath. I know that you love your baths. And I was like,
Like, so he's just very evil, obviously. And like, and he knows it. Like, you know, and
he, oh yeah,
like he knows that he's like this really fucked up person,
and he just basically acts like he can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, I think that it's just like really powerful that Savvy, the best friend, and a lot of people commented on how close their friendship was, how they were like soulmate best friends, mm-hmm. and everyone could see it. And that's why they couldn't believe. They're like, oh yeah, Lucy could be a bitch, but I can't believe she would do that to Savvy, her best friend.
Exactly.
But just the fact that Savvy would have been there for her no matter what, mm-hmm. like literally would have helped her kill him, helped
she was her like, get away with it. She loved Lucy so much platonically that she couldn't stand seeing her best friend get hurt like that.
Mm-hmm.
At the hands of, like, a man, no less.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very much willing to be like, we could take him out and it'll be fine.
And I also loved it because she knew that Lucy needed to get out of that situation, but mm-hmm. she was not judgmental. Mm-mm. She never made it sound like Lucy was less than for staying in that situation.
And it was just, like, even more depressing because Lucy finally made the decision that, like, she was going to leave. Like, her and Savvy were
They were going to run off together.
They were going to, like, Louise and Thelma it, and it was going to mm-hmm. be great. And, of course, Emmett had to come in and just fuck it all up.
I loved that scene where they're talking in the car mm-hmm. where Lucy is like, I just want to get out of here and escape. And Savvy's like, okay, when are we going? She automatically knew, no, I'm going with you.
I know. That's why, like, it's just like, this book is such a testament to, number one, you don't need a man.
I know, that's right.
Like, honestly, like, your friendships in life are enough to sustain you. And I think that this book is, like, such a testament to that.
Mm-hmm. And a testament to how hard it is, or when you're in a romantic relationship, how easy it is to just get absorbed in it and yeah. kind of forget about your best interests. Yeah. Whereas when you have good friendships and you guys support each other, that's not an issue because you're always mm-hmm. going to lift each other up.
Yeah.
Was there a single character in this book that was not cheating on someone?
Oh, I know. Oh, that's actually, yes, that's what I wanted to talk about. Not cheating, but like it was when I read the author bio real quick on the back of the page before, like, I really started the book. Cause I rented the book from the library and it had mentioned that this was her debut adult novel. Mm-hmm. And like, I could tell like immediately, and I was a little nervous reading it. Cause I was like, all right, like, you can definitely tell like this is an author I'm trying to move away from YA
mm-hmm.
into adult fiction. And so I was a little trepidation
mm-hmm.
going into it, because you could definitely tell from the style of writing that it wasn't as mature as other thriller novels that we read.
Yes. And so I feel that in the beginning.
Yeah, 100%. And I was so nervous. But then, like, once it really got into, like, the full swing of things, like, I really, really did, like, enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I really actually like her writing style. And I think yeah. I would be interested to, like, check out her YA novels just to, like, see. Because if she's this funny in this kind of book, I could see the YA novels being, like, good. And also, mm-hmm. I almost wonder if, because there was so much sexual tension and, like, adult themes,
mm-hmm.
I feel like she can't write that as much in her YA, so it almost feels like she shoved all of it into this.
It was pent up.
She was like, Lucy is gonna be, like, this horny girl, which, more power to it. I mm-hmm. love it. She should sleep with whoever the hell she wants to sleep with. But it got to the point where it was, like, a little much. I'm like, okay, she's not gonna back to town and just sleep with every single person. Like, that's a little unrealistic. But I understand, like, where she's trying to, like, go with the story. She had to kind of set it up in a sense, but I was like, oh, wow. But no, I was pleasantly surprised with the trajectory of the writing, because I was very nervous at first.
Mm-hmm. And you had told me that when you first started reading it. And so I was looking out for it. And when I started, I felt the same way. But once it started going,
mm-hmm.
I totally forgot about
it. I could have
put
it down. Like, mm-hmm. I read good chunks of it. Like, it was very enticing.
Well, and like you said, it was so funny. And Lucy's sense of humor is mm-hmm. so similar to mine.
Oh my God. I know. Like, she was just so, and there's just so many times where, like, you know, she would say something and her mom would be like, that doesn't translate well. Like, you need to stop doing
that.
You
can't
and,
say that.
And Lucy's like, she's I like, give zero fucks.
Oh, there was one part. Oh my gosh. Wait, I actually forgot to write this in my notes, but I took a picture of it. Okay. So during one of the podcast episodes where Ben is interviewing Lucy, Ben says, you look extremely suspicious. Lucy, I think my face is just showing how I always feel about you, Ben. And then there's a note. I want to jump in here to note that Lucy is extremely sarcastic and comes off as flip at times, even about serious things. Like, yes, exactly.
I know.
So even he feels the need to be like, listen, this doesn't translate because y'all think she's guilty, but yeah. This is just her sense of humor.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
All right. So our rating scale is Cocktails with Beverly.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one.
So how many cocktails with Beverly are you having? She makes them strong. So.
She does. But I gave it 4 cocktails with Beverly because I did. I really enjoyed it. Lucy was such a likable character and I feel like as the reader, you don't know if you should like her or not. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also, it was kind of refreshing because I feel like a lot of the times when we read these books from this point of view, where the main character is trying to decipher if they did something or didn't do something. And it's kind of very like melancholy and depressing. Whereas with this was such like a total flip around and her entire personality shone through in a really fun way
mm-hmm.
that you wouldn't expect in this kind of novel.
That's the thing. I didn't know if I was, mm-hmm. I knew I was going to like her sense of humor, but I didn't know if I was going to like her at the beginning. Because sometimes it feels, if a customer,
okay.
I don't even work with customers. If a character, I was thinking of her in the grocery store for some reason.
Right.
If a character isn't multidimensional
mm-hmm.
and they have this kind of sarcastic, dark humor, it comes off as just like they have a dark cloud and they're just always pessimistic and always, you know, mm-hmm. it gets grating.
Mm-hmm.
So I also gave this 4 cocktails with Beverly. I would be blacked out if I had 4 cocktails with Beverly, but I didn't feel like the concept was unique by any means. It's been done many, many times with the small town and the podcast and blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I did like the way it was written. The characters felt multi-dimensional and it did have those twists and turns. The ending also didn't feel so out of nowhere. Like it felt like she planted enough seeds throughout. And I think maybe the lack of originality is what kept me from loving it, but I did love Lucy. I mean, we talked about it, her dark humor, her I don't give a fuck attitude. Mm-hmm. She's exactly my type of character.
Exactly.
So like as I was finishing this, I was like trying to think about what I didn't like about it and I really couldn't think of much. And I think just the reason that I didn't love it is because it did feel like a very familiar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Multiple tropes felt very familiar.
And I feel like I'm so much more hesitant. No, I didn't want to say hesitant, but I know now when I read something, if it's going to be like 5 stars, mm-hmm. it's just going to like give me like that feeling. And like, this one was good, but like, I didn't like kind of like what you're saying, the originality of it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't.
It's like, anything. I would still highly recommend it.
Oh yeah. No,
and if
this
someone is
like,
looking
this is
for thrillers,
a book that I would recommend to somebody.
And it has really good ratings on Goodreads and stuff. And I see why.
Yeah.
But like we said, we just read so many thrillers. And I think as far as like a first adult novel, it was great.
Yeah.
And I hope that she does more.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they'll get even spicier.
She should delve into it. She was good.
Mm-hmm.
The scenes with like Ben and Lucy, like even though it was very, very small and like mm-hmm. unexpected, obviously, like because I feel like sometimes in some of the thriller novels, they obviously insinuate that people are going to hook up and there's like mm-hmm. a very like behind closed doors. And this one was definitely behind closed doors, but also
it
kind of saw
over
a little bit.
Yeah.
And like it It wasn't fully behind closed doors. And you had those moments where you kind of got to see what it was like between them. And then you mm-hmm. understood their chemistry even more.
Exactly. Because it wasn't completely random and just like a sex scene. It was literally them pulling parts of the story into it. Because that spicy scene that you're talking about, she says, oh, I was thinking about how I could kill you. And that's when she admits to him that she does that. And then it turns into them having really hot sex. But it's like it was completely irrelevant to the story, what she was saying. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I liked it. I definitely will recommend this. I think it was also like a pretty quick read.
Yeah.
The pacing was good. So
easy read. Definitely, like, definitely a good one to do is like if you're in a slump, I mm-hmm. think.
I agree. I
think this is definitely a good pull you out of a reading slump book because while it is like a thriller esque mystery, it's not heavy hitting,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like a lot of
thrillers
are. And there's
not that much to follow.
Mm-mm. And it's because, quirky.
Yeah. 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 I liked it. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
All right. That's all we have for you today. If you like what you heard, please make sure to follow, subscribe, and rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you use. If you have any book recommendations or questions for us, you can email us at fullybookedcalfpod@gmail.com. Also, be sure to follow us on TikTok and Instagram at fullybookedcalfpod to see our upcoming reads. Thanks for checking us out. And remember,
if you need us, we're fully booked.
Bye.